This morning we're looking at The Lord is My Shepherd, as this is the fifth of those messages. And we want to look at another aspect of the 23rd Psalm. And this morning we are looking at the specific intent of He restores my soul. He restoreth my soul. And as we have done the other weeks, we do have it on overhead, and we'd like you to read along with us, or if you know it by heart, that you would just say it and review your mind and your heart with the 23rd Psalm. Let's say it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's people said, Amen. Make it so. Let's pray. Father, as we look into Your Word this morning, we ask that You would give us Your insight. We don't ask for the pastor's insight. We ask for the heart of God, and that You would open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of Your law. Teach us to be sheep that follow the shepherd, and who look to the shepherd for all that we need. We ask this in Jesus' name. He restoreth my soul. We have looked at the shepherd as my shepherd. David is very personal about that. You can follow it through the first half of that psalm. Everything that he talks about is very personal. He's mine, he's mine, he's mine, he's mine. And then he comes to the middle of that psalm and he changes. And instead of saying mine, he says, Thou art, or You are. And then describes what He is and what He does for us. He is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down, even when I don't want to. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in green pastures for His name's sake. This morning we want to kind of back up a little bit and take a double take. And that is to look at that little phrase, He restores my soul. By way of introduction, I want to ask a couple questions. Number one, what is our soul? And number two, how is it that that soul can be restored? And then we're going to look at six restorations that the shepherd brings to the broken soul. I want to ask the first question. What is our soul? Now, soul is a strange word. It doesn't mean a certain kind of music. It doesn't mean that you're of a black heritage and you have a certain charisma, je ne sais quoi, jive, and you're able to make the right moves and say the right words and be in an attitude that is considered to be soul, or you enjoy soul food or soul music. None of that is what God has intended in this idea of soul. What is a soul? How many of you have ever seen a soul? No one has ever seen a soul. That's why when I prayed this morning, I made mention of the fact that Children have a soul. Every living human being is given a soul by God. That's the part of you that lives on forever and ever. It is the real you. It was back in 350 BC that Aristotle first wrote about what is the soul. And when he writes in his philosophic attitude trying to discover what the soul is, he writes these words: "To attain any assured knowledge about the soul is one of the most difficult things in the world." And after a long treatise about this, he says, "Hence the soul must be a substance in a sense of the form of the natural body, having life potentially within it. It is a substance which corresponds to the definitive formula of things' essence. That means it is the essential whatness of a body of the character just assigned." How many of you understood that? Gary? Yeah, more or less. Aristotle was a philosopher. He was a deep thinker. He thought about the deep things, but he had no contact with the Word of God. He did not know the essence of that meaning, the word soul. He was trying to discover soul by looking at the body. You can't discover a soul by looking at the body. You have to look at the Word of God. And God says when God created man, He created him a living soul, not just a body. And the soul is the essence of who you are deep inside. Sigmund Freud tried to define the soul. He tried to define it in terms of psychology. He identified and coined the phrase for several different parts of that. He says, first of all, there's the id of you. The id of you, that which has natural desires and wants and cravings. And he even talks about bodily functions being part of the id of who you are. It has no philosophy. It has no attitude toward the external world. It is totally me-centered. It is just living. And then he says there's the ego. The ego takes place a little bit later in life, and it begins to think about things and be concerned about how it's reflected to other people. And it has some sense of pride and ownership, and it realizes that it is a thing, that it is a substance. I remember being a little boy and being brilliant like I am. As a little boy, I was wondering, am I? It was Descartes that said, "I think, therefore, I am." Wow. As a little boy, I could say, "I am, but am I? Who am I? What am I? At what point did I become I?" Well, as I grew up, I stopped worrying about that because there's really no answer. But Freud said, that's ego, that's the you coming to terms with life. And then there's the superego, that full-blown identity of who you sense you are, your feelings, your thoughts, and your need to be appreciated and loved by other people. All of those things come together. That's a simplified definition of what the soul is. But God says this about the soul. What is the soul? The soul is the part of you that God created for Himself. He created it as a living soul. It surpasses your body. It will continue to exist when your body rots, turns cold, and goes in a grave, and turns back to dust. He restoreth my soul. So we have to ask the question, well, if a soul is not like a body, doesn't get old, doesn't rust, doesn't break down, how is it that the soul can be restored? Or why do we even need to refer to it as something that needs to be restored? God says it's a living, continual soul. Why does it need to be restored? Because of Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. You knew that, didn't you? Everybody memorized that, it seems. And there are some interesting historical ingredients there where it came from, but just beside the point. We often use Humpty Dumpty as an example of life. That God created us with a living soul, a desire that that soul should live on with Him in continued fellowship. Adam and Eve were created in the Garden of Eden and given a living soul that they would participate with God and walk with Him in the cool of the day. But Adam sinned. Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men, all of human nature, couldn't put him back together again. Adam could not take the glue of his substance and re-put himself back together and bond himself into the unit of a soul. His soul was broken, not destroyed. It was broken. He restoreth my soul. Hopefully with that you get an idea of what the psalmist is talking about when he talks about the Lord being the shepherd who restores his soul. I want to share with you six restorations that the Lord brings about in the soul of His people. In the soul of His people. Now, up on the screen, and we're going to do the bulleted thing, so just get ready for it. I didn't want you anticipating and writing things down ahead of time. Now, let me tell you a story about sheep. Sheep don't have a soul, but God used them as an illustration because they're dumb, kind of like human beings. And if those get really low, my wife starts whispering to me from the platform, from there. She says, either cut your sermon or blow it out. So I blow that out. It's a long sermon. Sheep have a problem. And that is they can't take care of themselves. And one of the problems a sheep has is frequently out in the pastures, a sheep will be cast. What is that? Well, a shepherd diligently watches over his sheep and he counts them on a regular basis because he's always aware of the fact that some of his sheep or one of his sheep might become a cast sheep. That is, that sheep could topple over into a hole and not be able to right itself. In fact, it doesn't need to even be a hole. If the sheep happens to be of substance, that is, round, fluffy, excessively heavy, you could topple the sheep. You could push him over, and the sheep would turn onto his back with its feet up in the air. Have you ever seen a sheep's feet? He has no fingers, and he can't get back up. And so a sheep that is cast is on his back, and he begins to try to move and get back onto his feet. He can't do it because he's too fat. His fur is too thick. He's round and poly and roly, but he's not Santa Claus. He just can't get upright. And what happens to a sheep when a sheep is cast is that he dies within an hour or two. There are gases that build up within his system that will cause him to suffocate. He will not be able to right himself. A sheep is so helpless that when he is cast, he needs someone to restore his soul. Someone to bring him back to the upright position. Someone to pick him up out of his hole and put him on a solid rock. Put him right up where he needs to be. That is a cast sheep. Sheep get sick. Now, I want to do something fun with you, okay? Is that all right? I want you to repeat after me. The sixth sheep's sixth sheep sick. Come on. Say it fast. The sixth sheep's sixth sheep sick. Sheep get sick. They get toppled over. They get tumbled around. They get invalid. They get into a place where they cannot upright themselves. They can't do what they need to do. I love those little tongue twisters. And when I was young, I heard that one of the six sheep, the six sheep sick. It's hard to say when you've got a lisp. There are other things that are difficult to say that have to do with healing and bringing about the betterment of the body or of the soul. And this one I hadn't heard when I was young, but I heard it when I was older. It says, Betty Botter has some butter, but she said, this butter's bitter. If I bake a bitter butter, it would make my batter bitter. But a bit of better butter, that would make my batter better. So she bought a bit of butter, better than her bitter butter, and she baked it in her batter. And the batter was not bitter, so 'twas better. Betty Botter bought a bit of better butter. Now someday I'll memorize that and be able to say it without confusion. Sheep get confused. Sheep get into situations that they cannot control. Sheep get put down in ways that they cannot right themselves. And God says, for this, you have a shepherd. Bear with me as we look through six of these restorations that the Lord wants to bring about in a sheep. The first one is the derailed sheep. The derailed sheep. Now, Pastor, why do you call it a derailed sheep? That will become obvious at the end of the sermon because all six start with a D. The derailed sheep is the sheep that has lost its way. The sheep that has gotten off the track. The sheep that has left the fold and has wandered in the dark of night. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6 tells us about this kind of sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, that is on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. A derailed sheep needs a restoration, needs to be restored to the image of God, needs to be restored to what God intended a sheep to be brought back into the pasture. Jesus gave the illustration of a shepherd that diligently counted his sheep, and he had 100, and he found out that day he only had 99. And he said, what does he do? He leaves all the 99. He leaves them behind, puts them in the storage area, puts them behind the corral, and he goes out in the dark of night, in the weather, all kinds of situations he will face to find his one sheep that has gone astray. And so it is that God says the restoration of our soul begins, first of all, as recognizing we are derailed sheep. A derailed sheep is like that train that's going down the track and can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. But then the end of the tunnel, he does see a light. He finds out that light is another train coming right at him. And God says every man needs to understand that. That it's not just that we're derailed, but it's derailed and we are headed for hell. We are headed for a no win situation that we cannot survive. God loves you with an everlasting love, but our sins have separated us from God. He sent His only begotten Son to be the Lamb of God, to die on the cross for your sins and for mine, to pay the penalty that we couldn't pay, so that our souls might be restored and we would be brought back to God so that we can go to heaven and be with Him forever. See, it's a simple process. We just need to recognize that we are derailed sheep, that we are going down a track, and the light at the end of the tunnel is not hope. The light at the end of the tunnel is another train coming our direction, and that other train is death. And that death will bring judgment, and that judgment will bring damnation unless our souls are uprighted, unless our souls are brought back to fellowship with God. We are lost. The first sheep and the first restoration is the derailed sheep. Do you know the Savior? Have you met Jesus? There's an old hymn that's sung, and it says, my soul in sad exile was on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered the haven of rest. Have you found that haven? Have you found a restoration for your soul? The second restoration is a restoration for disobedient sheep. A restoration for disobedient sheep. David knew about that. David wrote about that in several occasions in the Bible. He was referring to a time in his life when he was disobedient to the Lord. He knew what was right to do, but he didn't do it. That was with the sin of Bathsheba, where he coveted after another man's wife, he lusted after her, he engaged an encounter, and he had dinner with her, and what took place later was sin, and God says the judgment came on him. He tried to hide it by murdering a man or putting the man at the front of the army, so he was murdered. And God finally came to him by way of the prophet. And Nathan looked at him and said, David, you are the man. You are the disobedient sheep. You are the sheep that has turned from the Lord's way and gone your own way. I am told, and I have it on good authority, though I've never seen it, nor can I prove that it's true, but they say in ancient times that a shepherd out with his sheep would find that sheep that continually went astray. Not just once or twice, but continually went astray. And when he found that sheep, because it was precious to him and it was valuable, it was part of his income, he took that sheep and secretly he wounded the sheep. He would take the sheep and he would break its leg. He would fracture that leg in some way so the sheep could not walk away. But that wasn't his purpose. His purpose wasn't to harm the sheep or to lame the sheep. But his purpose was to bring the sheep back to himself. And so the shepherd would take the sheep with a broken leg and he would put it on his shoulders and he would carry him about. And for 6 weeks, while that leg mended, that sheep was close to the shepherd's heart, was on the shepherd's shoulder, heard the shepherd's voice, felt the warmth of his body, realized that this shepherd loves me. Now, I don't know any sheep analysis that actually know what sheep think. But I have read and I am told that that sheep no longer remembers the broken bone, but remembers only the shepherd's tender care. In Hebrews chapter 12, God speaks to you and me and says that we are like sheep and we need to be disciplined. When we wander away from the Lord doesn't hate us, He loves us and He goes after us. But sometimes that discipline is severe, as it was for David. David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and because of that he lost a lot. And over the years of time, throughout his history and throughout his whole reign as king, and subsequent to that, after the fact, the kingdom came to be divided. But we can all trace it back to David's sin against the Lord. He was a disobedient sheep. He restoreth my soul. This morning, perhaps you have taken a path that you know is not the Lord's path. You've taken a path that is disobedience, a path that is away from the Lord, a path that is not intended for your blessing, but it's for your harm. And the Lord is seeking to draw you back to Himself. And perhaps God has even wounded you, allowed you to be hurt in that process, so that you can realize that the Lord is indeed your shepherd and that He is caring for you. The third sheep is the sheep called a diseased sheep. The third restoration the Lord brings is to the diseased sheep. That is a sheep that is sick. We talk about the cast sheep that isn't really sick until he gets on his back and can't get up again. But there are lots of other diseases that come the way of a sheep. And we are like sheep because we are often sick. We are under a fallen creation. This body is deteriorating, if you haven't noticed. Look in the mirror. And then look in the mirror a year later. And then look in the mirror 10 years after that, and 20 years after that, and 30 years after that, and 40 years after that, and 50 years after that, and that's about as far as I can go. But some of you can look at the 60th year, and the 70th year, and the 80th year. What do you look like in your 80th year? You don't look like you did in your 18th year, do you? Why? It's because this body is failing. This body is falling apart. God says sickness will come upon this earth and it will come upon His sheep as well. But Jesus is the shepherd who restores His sheep and He brings healing to His sheep. I wonder this morning how many of you have taken the Lord as your shepherd for your healing. Now some of us are more sickly than others, but the Lord Himself is our shepherd who watches over the sheep, and His intent is not for His sheep to be diseased. Now, that doesn't mean we're preaching health and wealth, but it means that we look at our Savior and recognize that He loves us and His desire is to restore His sheep. I stand before you this morning well, whole. Throughout my 56 years, I've had a lot of diseases. I remember when I was a little boy and I had measles. I thought it would never go away. But I've been healed. I remember one flu that I had when I was in the seventh grade that laid me on my back for 3 weeks. And I was puking my guts out and everything else that accompanied that for 3 weeks. Lost a lot of weight, and I remember having nightmares and visions of things stirring around in my room, and I thought I was going to die for certain. But you know, I came out of it. The Lord healed me. Most recently, this past year, I had that, and some of you don't know about it, but I had a sore in my mouth, and it developed into a bone spur that was sticking through my jaw and rubbing against my tongue as I would preach. And you're not aware of what goes on in this body while I'm preaching, but sometimes it's worn out. And I'd come down from the pulpit, and my tongue would be, I can hardly talk. Now you say, and that explains a lot. But that thing rasped me, and I ended up going to a dentist and then to the surgeon, and the surgeon said, oh, this is a bone spur and it will go away on its own, and it didn't over and over again. It took all summer from May to August, and that thing was getting worse and worse and worse. And I finally ended up on a prayer retreat, and as the doctor had done the second surgery and said, oh, certainly within a couple of weeks this is going to start to mend, it was getting worse. And in that moment, I cried to the Lord, and I gathered around me the prayer people that were at that seminar, and I said, I need the Lord's touch. And he says, if any is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them anoint him with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith will what? Save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Well, I felt that that was the moment, and I just asked them to gather around. There were a couple pastors, and there were laymen, some elders, and some women that gathered around to pray for me. And they prayed for me, and nothing happened. Until 24 hours later, I realized I have no more pain in my mouth. I was home by that time, and I opened my mouth and looked, and the entire sore, incision and everything was covered over. Nothing was there to indicate a problem. As I look over 56 years of life, the Lord has healed me of all my diseases, except one. My arm still hurts. Two, one's getting worse all the time, and that's my eyes. But it's not a health and wealth doctrine. It's not name it and claim it. It is the Lord is my shepherd, and when I am hurting, when I am diseased, and when there's a resistance against serving God, and I become detrimented or deficient in serving Him because of my health, I can certainly call on the Lord, and He will hear, and He will answer. Dr. A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, believed in healing. That's why the fourfold gospel, four parts of what we preach and teach, is Christ our Savior, Christ our Sanctifier, and Christ our Healer and Coming King. Healer. And when He called people to trust the Lord for healing, He said this to them: if the Lord heals you, what are you going to do with your healing? If the Lord heals you, how are you going to serve Him? Is it in the Lord's benefit to heal you, or is it just your own selfish desire? And I believe that if it's God's desire to heal you, it is God's desire to heal you so that you can serve Him better, not just to make you feel good. In Isaiah 61, Jesus declares what His ministry is. And Isaiah 61 says it this way: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, opening of prison to those that are bound, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. The Lord desires to heal His sheep. The fourth restoration is the restoration for discouraged sheep. It's referred to in the same passage. Discouraged sheep. Psalm 42, David cries out to God like a sheep. He said, Lord, why is my soul cast down? Why am I disquieted within me? Why am I so upset? I've lost the peace of God. God is concerned about sheep that lose their joy and lose their peace. And many are His sheep that lose their peace. And they only lose that peace when they get their eyes on other things than the shepherd. And God wants us to look to the shepherd and find our peace that passes all understanding. He alone can bring us that peace. In Hebrews chapter 12, again, that passage just talks about our discouragements, speaks to us and says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, so that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. God is concerned about sheep that are discouraged. Are you discouraged this morning? Discouragement is the loss of joy. The loss of joy. Now, I suppose if I could spend 24 hours with you, I'd discover whether you've lost joy or not. I have a good friend. One of my best friends happened to be Pastor Paul's father, Steve Renix. When we lost our daughter in an accident, we went through that whole process of grief and heaviness of soul, and I didn't think I'd ever smile again. I didn't think I'd ever laugh again. But I remember the day that I first smiled after my daughter died. It was almost a year after. I was sitting at a table with Steve Renix. And Steve, my good friend, looked at me and he smiled and tears came into his eyes, and he said, Dick, so good to see you smile again. I thought it was lost forever. He restores my soul. He knows you're weary. He knows you're discouraged. But to those that look to Him, will He arise with healing in His wings and meet that need? Have you lost your smile? Is joy gone out of your life? When we stand and worship the Lord and sing of His glories, this morning was a wonderful worship service. Did you sing with joy? Did your heart well up with the wellspring of life? And did you sing with joy to God? Or did you just stand there and say, "Oh God, woe is me. Woe is me." God wants to restore His discouraged sheep. And then the fifth is He wants to restore His depressed sheep. Now, depressed sheep are a little bit different than discouraged sheep. Discouraged sheep lose their smile. Depressed sheep lose everything. That is, they're going through a process of loss where everything becomes distorted and blurred. The whole world looks like you're looking through clouded glasses, and everything is negative. It's a losing of reality. Things become distorted. Truth no longer looks like truth. The things that used to be clear to you become unclear. You assume something to be true, but it doesn't feel like it is anymore. You jump to conclusions. You participate in mind reading and think other people are thinking evil of you. The depressed person goes through the process of feeling, and all of his feelings are negative. He feels that people are picking on him, feels that nobody cares, feels that no one can be trusted. He's suspicious of everything, feels like nobody loves him, that life is not getting better, it's getting worse, and ultimately it feels like the shepherd has abandoned them. God is concerned about His depressed sheep, those sheep that have lost their way and are no longer able to recognize the Savior. He is there for the depressed sheep, for the sheep that is on his back and cast and crying out, "Oh God, where are you? Where are your mercies gone forevermore? Do you not hear my cry?" He speaks to you and says, "I am the good shepherd. I love my sheep. I hear their voice, and they hear mine." And in the midst of our depression, we can find the Lord as our help and as our healer, the lifter of our head. In Psalm 42, David repeated over and over again, "Oh, why is my soul downcast? Why is my heart overwhelmed within me?" And then he concludes that with the faith that God gave him. He says to himself, "Hope thou in God. Hope in the Lord, for He is the strength of your countenance." God wants His sheep to look to Him and find Him as the strength of their life. Lastly, the sixth restoration is this. He restores the defeated sheep. David knew of constant loss. Yeah, he became the king of Israel, but he lost his kingship. He was taken off of his throne. He was chased as though he were a criminal. There was a time he even had to act like a madman and be in the camp of the enemy. He had lost everything, and a son turned against him and rebelled against the kingdom and wanted to take his own life. And eventually he lost that son to death. And he cried, "Absalom, Absalom, my son, would to God that I had died for you." God often has sheep that are defeated sheep. They are accused and they are beaten and they are roughed up by the situations in life. And God wants to speak to you, and He wants to bring restoration to that defeated life. I want everybody to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we're closing with this. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I won't read the whole thing, but I want you to read it when you get home. If you're a defeated sheep and you feel like you've been beaten up by life and everything's against you, God has a word for you as His sheep. He wants to restore you. Deuteronomy chapter 28, my title in that, in my Bible, is Blessings and Curses. And about halfway through the chapter in verse 16, it changes. Curses and blessings. And the first part of that chapter lists all the blessings that will accompany the child of God who is following Him. And the blessings in every way, shape, and form. God says He wants you to be the head and not the tail. I love that. Do you ever feel like you're the tail? You're getting wagged by the dog. God says, "That's not my purpose. It's not my purpose for your life to end in that way or to continue in that way. Though David went through it, he said, it's so that you can know I am the Lord who restores you. And God restored David to his throne. He restored what the enemy had taken away. With Job, he restored everything that he lost and multiplied blessings on top of it. And for us, he says, my purpose and my plan for you is not cursing, but it is blessing. I want you to be the head and not the tail. I want you to be prosperous and not in poverty. I want you to be increased and not decreased. And on the story goes. But then about halfway through, he says, but if you don't listen to my voice, if you don't act like my sheep, you wander away from me, then these curses will follow you. He doesn't say, I will curse you. He says, these curses will chase you. The literal word is, they will track you down, they will hunt you, and they will overtake you. And then the list of curses is far greater than the list of blessings, because God wants us to know that His desire is to bless us. The enemy's desire is to curse us. Are you a defeated sheep this morning? Psalm chapter 1 speaks to your situation. David observed that the righteous man would be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, brings forth its fruit in its season. But your unrighteous are not so. They are like the chaff. They will be blown away. God desires to heal His people. He desires to restore your soul. I close with this question. Do you need restoration? Is there some aspect of your soul, of the real you, of the person inside that nobody sees that needs to be restored? Perhaps it is that you're a sheep that's wandering and lost, and you need the good shepherd as your shepherd. Or perhaps you have been disobedient to the Lord and willful and gone your own way. Or maybe you're one of those discouraged or depressed sheep, or maybe you're a defeated sheep and you need restoration in the Lord. Or perhaps you have that physical ailment that is chasing you and cursing you and keeping after you. And God says, I want to bless you. The word the Lord gives to His sheep is always one word. Come. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He, the good shepherd, will restore my soul. But I must come to Him. Let's bow for prayer. Forgive us, Lord, when we are like wandering, disobedient sheep that fail to look at our shepherd. Cause our eyes to turn to You, Lord. This morning I want to pray for those that are sheep that are being beaten up. Those sheep that are cast and life is turned upside down and become very negative. I pray for those sheep that are sick with a continued sickness that will not be remedied. I pray for Your healing. I pray for that sheep, Lord, that's defeated, that You would change that defeat into victory. But most of all, Lord, Your desire is that we would come to You and find rest.